This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Lisa DeZutti and Monica Parham, both of Market Connections, Inc. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Lisa, welcome back. And Monica, your first time, huh?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Way cool. So I'll put you under the gun first. Tell us about yourself and your background, please.
I'm the marketing director at Market Connections. I've been working in the federal market since 2008. I've been in the DC area since early 2000s. And I'm a marketer through and through. I get excited about marketing. I love seeing what clients and companies in the area are doing and helping them do it better. And I feel it's come very full circle since I started working with Market Connections, because by bringing research into everything, we're able to really put a lot of great validation behind marketing strategies and techniques.
Cool.
And
Lisa.
Well, I'll talk about myself, but I wanted to add one of the things I enjoy about working with Monica is she's very not just tactical. She's very strategic in how she thinks about marketing and how she thinks about the business, and that's something that she helps Market Connections with, as well as our clients. So it's value that she brings to our clients as well. My name's Lisa DeZutti, and I am the president and CEO of Market Connections. I started Market Connections about a little over 16 years ago now. My background is in strategic planning, strategy, marketing, and research. I worked for many years at GTSI prior to forming Market Connections, so I have a very long and extensive background in federal marketing and federal research. And that really has become a specialty for Market Connections. Folks have come to know us for the work that we do in the public sector space.
Okay, so let's talk about that public sector space for a few minutes. You guys have a number of studies that you've been doing over the years now. Not just for your private clients. I want to talk about the studies that you do,
right?
The broad releases.
I call those the off-the-shelf studies that
there
we
you go.
Do. Yes.
Yeah.
Some people call them syndicated studies.
Right.
Same idea.
Yeah. Okay. But let's do a little bit of history there. I mean, you've been doing studies on use of media in the market now for several years.
This year was the fourth year on the Federal Media and Marketing Study, and that's probably the one that we're most well known for. And it looks at the information and media usage habits of government executives.
It's funny, Mark, that has grown so much over the years, and you know we do that in conjunction with Sarah Lyman. And you know that something is gaining traction in the market. This year, I can't tell you how many phone calls I had come in from different media properties and folks saying, why aren't we listed? How do we get listed in the study? I'm like, well, you don't get, it is a survey. We are asking federal folks what they're reading and listening to and looking at, but it definitely has gotten a lot of visibility in the community and is being well used by our client base.
Well, I try to have you guys on every year to talk about it, because
right.
I use it for a benchmark for a lot of what I do with my clients.
Right.
But most recently, you came out, 2 months ago?
In June.
With the GovCon study. Mm-hmm. Tell me.
That's the second.
Tell me.
Second version of that
we've
done.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
We did one 2 years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Two years.
Okay, so tell me about the first one, then let's get a little bit into the second one, maybe what the evolution has been since the first one.
Well, it was really born out of clients wanting some sort of benchmark against what their competitors were doing in the market in terms of marketing and what they were doing for business development. So, and we really did not, the study itself did not change significantly. We did it 2 years ago. We skipped a year. We repeated it this past year and tried to do some comparisons. So that that has been a very popular study with the contracting community. The other one, Mark, that we haven't mentioned is the social media study, did earlier. Was it last year?
We released it October 2011.
Yes.
And that has by far been our most popular. As much as I think people love the media study because it is so informative, but everybody was very excited about the social media study.
Yeah, that's been such a hot topic.
But the media studies have included tidbits of social media for a while.
Yes.
But it became so popular, yes, you had to spin.
We
really
had to do a
spin-off.
Whole separate study on
whole,
just social media
a
use.
A whole drill down on it, absolutely, yeah. So, and I think, Monica, you'll probably share a little bit of that with your listeners later, Mark. So,
cool.
And we try to do three or four of those types of studies a year.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work, in addition to custom client work that we're doing.
But that makes you the repository, your organization, the repository of an extraordinary amount,
yes,
of really cool stuff. And that's going to be one of the focuses here today, thought leadership. And from my perspective, one of the reasons you're on my show with some regularity and one of the reasons you're in all of my books is you are, whether or not you accept this, a thought leader in this area. You've been studying what works in marketing,
right,
in the government. You know, we're peers. We've been doing this a long time.
The years go by fast. We've been doing it for a very long time. But you're right, absolutely right. And we talk about this internally. You know, over the years, we have built a tremendous amount of content. And it's been available on our website. Our website is now searchable, so folks can come to the site and search for content. We have our blog, where there's a tremendous amount of content there as well. So we really are trying to be ourselves smarter about how we're leveraging that thought leadership and that content and making it available to folks in the market.
How old is the blog?
We launched the blog in April of this year. We had another blog prior to this, but the new one is called Fed Connects, and it is a totally content-driven strategy. So it is not a place where we self-promote. We will occasionally put a press release up about the release of a new study.
Right.
But other than that, it's all about using research to improve your position in the federal market, or other strategies and tactics that you need to employ to be successful in this market. So we're looking at current issues like sequestration. We are constantly putting out recommendations about marketing and positioning. We do a lot of summarization of our studies, or, you know, we'll delve into one particular data point and then build an article around it. And we're doing a lot of Q&As with other folks in the industry so that, you know, contractors can learn from each other about what's working and build on that expertise.
Okay.
I think that's really an extension of the contractor study, the Q&A that we have started this year, because it adds another dimension to just the written word. These are actual interviews. And so I think that's worked very, very well.
Yeah, we've been building a steady following for it, and we're sharing a lot of content with our clients as well. So we've shared some content with Immix Group, with AOL Government, and with Washington Executive.
Okay. Well, JD's new thing?
Yes.
Cool.
Deltek, too, I think.
Deltek. Of course, we've shared content with Deltek and GovWind.
Well, everybody shares content with GovWind.
That's right.
And you should do it with Federal News Radio as well. And you are. You're here. So can people find the blog through your homepage?
FedConnects.com.
Is it connects the way people should spell it?
Yes.
Okay.
FedConnects.com.
Thank you for spelling things correctly, because I get confused otherwise. And your homepage is MarketConnectionsInc.com. And I'm assuming you can find the blog that way as well.
That's absolutely right.
Okay. And you also put out something that's some people consider passé, but I really like it a lot. That's a newsletter.
Yes. we still do our monthly newsletter, and it is still well read by the community. And You know, yeah, you know, maybe it is a little passe, but we still get...
I don't think so. I'm just too lazy to do one.
We still get... they are a lot of work, as Monica will attest to, but we still get calls from folks, and they'll say to me, you know, your newsletter is a great tool because, you know, I don't always look at it every month, but, you know, this month I looked at it and reminded me that I needed to pick up the phone and call, you know, so it keeps us, it helps, it's just another tool to help keep us top of mind.
Right, yeah. I don't do the newsletter anymore, and I still get grief from that, but I do a monthly column for WashTech. I have my blog. I write for other people's blogs. Hope to write for your blog sometime.
I hope so.
We'd be happy to have your content anytime, Mark.
There you go. We will swap emails on this, and you will pick an appropriate topic for me. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Monica Parham and Lisa DiZutti, both of Market Connections. Lisa's the CEO, and Monica is the director of is that right? Director of marketing?
That's correct.
There you go. Sometimes I get these things right. So let's take a bit of a dive into this latest study, the one that came out in June, please. Give me the scope and some of the top line results, and then tell people where they can download that executive overview.
Absolutely. It was a national survey, so we went nationwide. We spoke to just under 300 government contractors, 272 to be exact. And they were contractors that are working in the federal market. We did the study focused exclusively on federal. We often will do studies around state and local, but this particular one was for federal. And we covered some key areas. We looked at expected revenue changes, top opportunities in the market, key elements of the capture process for contractors, the marketing initiatives that they're using, any changes in the marketing budget, challenges that they're facing, as well as how they are positioning themselves for contract success in the future. And, you know, we all know that's a challenge in the climate that we're facing with, yeah, with potential sequestration, deadlock Congress. So we wanted to really get some good insights on what they are planning. And the interesting part of that study, and we did the same thing 2 years ago, is we took all of the data that we collected and we looked at it through the lens of win-loss rates. So we wanted to understand, were companies with higher win rates behaving differently than those with lower win rates? And we did see a few differences, and I'll try and point some of those out as I go through the highlights. Just over half of the survey respondents projected at least some growth in 2012 revenue, despite the climate that we're all working in. So we thought that was encouraging. And winning contractors are staying on top by targeting specific technology growth areas and agencies. They're getting in early to make sure that they understand an agency's needs and requirements, an agency's tolerance for risk and innovation. So winning contractors is all about knowing the customer, and our research can help them do that. Specifically, top contractors are looking at cybersecurity, cloud computing, and healthcare IT as the top opportunities over the next 12 months. And those with higher win rates are more likely to assess opportunities early. So in terms of the capture process, winning contractors are looking early at opportunities. They are developing a formal capture team and a formal capture process, and they are more likely to be using color team reviews once they get into that proposal process. Now, we all know that getting in early it's always been important in this market, but it is even more important now than it ever has been with, you know, LPTA out there as a challenge, lowest price technically acceptable. You know, contractors really have to understand, what is the agency's propensity there? What are they thinking? What is their risk tolerance? You know, are they going to have, you know, any room for outside of the box, innovative ideas and proposals? Mm-hmm. Or are you really just going to have to answer the mail? And the only way you know that is getting in early, developing those relationships, having those conversations, and understanding what it is the agency wants and what they're willing to accept. Thought leadership, content, we've talked about that already. Content is still king. Thought Leadership works for winning government contractors. Those with higher win rates reported using more often Thought Leadership marketing.
So you're basically flipping the coin here. Knowing the customer is important, but having the customer know you and your area of expertise.
Yes. And one of the top challenges mentioned, Mark, by folks was getting in to see government customers, getting that face time. So we all know it's important. It's a challenge for the government contracting community. And this thought leadership materials and content can be a great door opener, whether it's done on a one-to-one basis or a one-to-many basis. It can be a great door opener. It's something the contractor should keep in mind. We actually have done a lot in the area of thought leadership and helping clients with that kind of outreach. And we do that by developing a very targeted study. It's generally around a technology area. So we'll conduct the study. We'll use the results of the study to develop a white paper. And then we'll do press interviews with the client. We will help them with a webinar. We are often presenting the study results on the webinar. They have their own in-house subject matter expert that's also participating. And it's been very, very successful for our clients. We've gotten a lot of press coverage. We have one client in particular, a large government contractor, that's attributed a very large, we can't say how much, but it had a B in it, a contract win directly back to this thought leadership research that we're doing. So very important, I think, as particularly in today's climate that we're all working in, to make sure that you have that content and you're leveraging it as many different ways as you can.
Okay.
All right. And the on the continuing on the marketing note, did you want to add anything?
Go ahead, Lisa.
Trade shows and conferences. I know always something that you and I have talked about over the years, Mark. Interestingly, in this study, trade shows, conferences, still viable marketing tools for contractors. They are doing both the larger shows and conferences as well as smaller events. I think the key here and the change that we've seen, a couple of different changes, the very large, generic, big trade shows, FOSSI, of course, comes to mind, are not as viable as they used to be for the government contracting community. They're still going to larger shows, but they're more focused shows, whether it's a defense show focus or whether it's around a particular technology focus.
A cloud event, a cyber
event.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. So RSA is still big.
Yes, still viable tool for marketers.
Let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. A lot of your research was begun prior to the GSA public building poop hitting the proverbial fan.
Yes.
So while it is important for contractors to go there, anecdotally, I've talked to about 30 senior feds since. And just last week, a very senior guy at the Army Corps, and they have to justify all out of the office time for that type of events now.
Right.
You know, like in triplicate. I mean, you got to jump through so many hoops. So for some of them, it's just no longer worth it, regardless of the education and networking component.
Right. We've heard the same thing, that it's very difficult, you know, to get there. Just the scrutiny is there.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, it's probably an extremely small percentage of people who, you know, through a rock in this particular pond.
Yes. But it's something that they have to deal with. I think one of the viable options that what we will probably see, I'm hoping all of this will pass, but in the short term, what we'll see perhaps are the very smaller, localized events in agency events, perhaps something that's taking place inside the agency building itself.
Or adjacent, yeah.
Or adjacent. So I think There will be workarounds to the challenge that the market is facing right now.
Yeah.
Mark, I think we're seeing a lot of backlash right now from events that were somewhat over the top. But for the things that are content focused and relevant to what federal employees need to know to do their jobs, maybe there's going to be a little slowdown for a number of months, but I think it will bounce back. People will realize that they cannot learn what they need to learn to do their jobs well just by staying in the office. They're going to have to be able to get out.
The employees already know this.
Yeah. So if we as contractors are putting on events that are focused, relevant, and educational, I think that we'll be able to overcome this backlash that we're seeing on the government side.
Well, you know, as soon as we get the mainstream press off of, you know, the alleged, what was it, the alleged $16 muffin, which was Continental Breakfast in D.C., not that they ever ran retractions on that.
Right. But the other piece on the events from a contractor strategy point of view is that the big difference that we have noticed, and I'm sure you have as well, is it's the contractors are much more thoughtful, deliberate, and strategic about how they are approaching events, and they have to be, not just in picking the events, but what they're doing when they're there. So it's not just show up and hand out, you know, bags or tchotchkes. The successful contractors that are getting a good return on their investment on events are those that are planning ahead, they are inviting customers, they are having meetings. I know of one client, if their sales organization has not set up customer meetings during events, they're not going to be part of the sales organization for very long. It's a requirement. So they're very deliberate and very strategic about what they want to accomplish at events, more so than I've ever seen in the past.
So what else is in this thing?
I'm sorry?
The study, sorry.
Yeah, no, I think I touched on it earlier that marketing, reaching the decision makers for marketers is a challenge. So that was the biggest challenge noted by 52% of respondents, followed by aligning, which is, I think, an age-old problem, aligning sales, marketing, and service objectives and strategy. So, you know, some companies are better at aligning sales and marketing than others. That continues to be a challenge to have them sort of all working and heading down the same track on the same train. So,
right. And the organizations both of us have worked with, the ones who are more successful at that alignment are the ones who are more successful in the market.
Mark, with regard to reaching the government decision maker, that's where I go back to some of the studies that we talked about earlier. The Federal Media and Marketing Study is a very large survey. It talks to 3,700 government decision makers and influencers and asks them.
Let's start with that on the next segment, because I'd like to go into that a little deeper. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Lisa DeZutti and Monica Parham, both of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there, and you can find their blog there. The newsletter and the blog are both great informational tools for anyone selling to the government. Let's pick up on that media study for a couple minutes here.
So the Federal Media and Marketing Study, last year we talked to 3,700 federal decision makers and influencers and asked them, what are you reading? Where do you get your information? Where do you get your news? What TV news are you watching? What websites are you visiting? Radio stations? And we also talked to them about social media and blogs. So if you're struggling to figure out where to find that right decision maker, this is a good starting point, because you can actually delve into certain job functions and areas of expertise and overlay that with media and information usage habits.
I read that study very thoroughly, more than once.
And then earlier, we also mentioned the social media study. So since so many contractors are starting to use social media to reach the federal market, I've pulled up some stats for you about the federal folks and what they're using. So in the social sphere, 86% of federal government respondents said in 2011 in the social media study that they're using Facebook. 86%. They're not there for business purposes. They're there for personal. However, they're there. So I think that Facebook is a viable place. I'm not saying you should put all your eggs in that basket, but it's a viable place to start talking to your customers. 80% of federal government respondents to that same survey are using YouTube. 70% are using LinkedIn, and 55% are using Twitter. And that's from a year ago. So I would expect that those LinkedIn and Twitter numbers are up. And the next time we do the study, I expect to see an increase there. And, you know, what I'm seeing is contractors are starting to catch on to using content and the social sphere to push that content out to reach the government decision maker.
Okay.
So it's really having that thought leadership and leveraging social tools to push it.
Before we go any further on the thought leadership thing, let's define exactly what thought leadership is from three different perspectives here. So Lisa, give it a shot, and then Monica.
Sure. From my perspective, being considered a thought leader, you are top of mind. You are a top of mind, go-to source, credible for a particular subject matter. So you are considered by the community a credible source. You're trusted, and you know if there's something that you want to know about a particular topic or technology, that is the person or company that comes to mind. You'll pick up the phone, you'll send an email, and it's someone that you lean on, a company or an individual that you lean on for a particular area of expertise. But I think the key is credible and trusted.
Monica?
And I would add indispensable to that. And to Lisa's point, you want to be the go-to source of expertise and information on whatever that given topic may be. Some contractors know a lot about a lot of things, and those that are differentiating themselves are showing that they have expertise, specific expertise in certain areas.
Yeah. And to add to that, I don't think you become a thought leader by simply focusing on yourself or your own organization. Part of the way you build that credibility is you're willing to look outside and go beyond and bring a variety of solutions to the community. And that's really how you have built your expertise and your credibility.
Right. Now, the only thing I think I would add to that is, from my perspective, thought leaders find ways to share information in multiple formats,
yes,
multiple venues.
Yes.
So, you know, you can be a subject matter expert and live in a closet.
Right.
And, you know, what's the point?
Right. Yes.
And I've known some.
Yeah. And I think successful contractors have subject matter experts who are out in the community and are building partnerships and relationships, like Lisa was saying earlier, really leveraging those relationships into opportunities.
Yeah. So you're going to see some of the same people quoted in trade publications who are also keynoting or panelists or whatever at, you know, significant industry events, not the webinar with two attenders.
Right.
Or if it is a webinar, it's going to be one that's evergreen and hundreds, if not thousands, of people will go to it. But for thought leaders, it's not the quantity of the audience, it's the quality of the audience. So let's talk about thought leadership tools here. So from the GovCon study and the media studies, what do you recommend for content development and content dissemination?
Well, if we could back up a little bit just for a moment, because I think thought leadership is a key tool to helping an organization create differentiation in the market. And that is going to be a strong key to success in finishing out this year and in 2013 and beyond for contractors in the austere environment that we're all facing. In a lot of the studies that we do, Mark, we see contractors in this market lumped into this bucket of they're all about the same. Federal employees will often view a lot of the contractors, well, they're all about the same. So that is not a good, that's sort of no man's land, or I call it quicksand. And so you really have to break out of that by creating some sort of differentiation. Thought leadership can help you do that. I think research is a key piece to help do that, you know, to create meaningful differentiators. So research is all about knowing your customer and not simply shooting from the hip, basing your strategy on what everyone internally might think is a good idea, which sometimes works, most of the time doesn't, and can certainly be a recipe for disaster. And right now, there's just very little room for error. The stakes are very high in this market, and research substantially can lower your risk and help ensure success. So it's really important to make sure that you're directing your resources and your efforts at the best opportunities, differentiators that can set you apart, that are important to your customer base. We had a client just a brief story. A client that was really wanting to build their brand and hang their hat on innovation. That was what they wanted their differentiator to be. We went out and did a study for them and found out that that was not something that resonated with the market, not at all. So they have made some significant changes in how they're talking about their technology leadership. They're not, they've, you know, repositioned away from innovation. So if they hadn't done the work, they would have gone out with something that simply fell flat on the market. And that's a waste of everybody's time and money. So understand what's important. Understand the competitive landscape. Who are the players? Where are the holes? What hole can you fill? You know, what are the Achilles heels of your competitors that you can build a differentiator around? You probably know who I'm talking about, Mark, because we've talked about this before. It's been a number of years ago now. Very large player in this federal space was ignoring some of the small, mid-sized to smaller federal agencies. And then they had a competitor come in right behind them and build a huge, very successful business by focusing on serving and serving well small to medium-sized agencies. So that was a hole that they filled. That was an Achilles heel of that competitor that they took advantage of.
So, yeah, there's, you know, outside the cabinet department, there's about 100 independent agencies.
Absolutely. That that make can make for a very good business model.
Yep. NASA is not a cabinet-level organization.
The other piece that I'll mention in terms of differentiation is not just sort of at that macro level, but also at the micro level when companies are going after a particular opportunity and understanding that particular agency organization, what drives the decision making on contracts for that particular agency, how you are perceived by that agency, how you stack up against the competition. Knowing that and going into the bid with that information is going to put you so much more ahead. If you're simply tracking the opportunity and responding and you don't have that G2, you're going to most likely be on the losing end of that particular bid. So, you know, to sort of reiterate what we said earlier and what showed up in the study, winners are in early, they're developing those strong relationships, and they're thoroughly understanding customer needs and requirements, and research helps companies do that. So I wanted to sort of get that foundation in before we started talking about some of the tactics, because I think it's really important to understand your market, what's important to them, and then start to create the tactics to help support that.
Yeah, and the thought leadership position.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to pick up the tactics on the other side of this break, where you're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after these messages.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Lisa DeZutti and Monica Parham. They're both of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. You can find the newsletter there. You can find the blog there. You can find the studies that we've been referencing there. All really great information. I use all of the above myself. Monica, let's talk specifically about some of the thought leadership tools that are really necessary for the differentiation. So let's talk about the tools and perhaps the dissemination side as well.
Yeah. So, Mark, once you've established what you need to do and say and where you need to be positioned in order to differentiate yourself, then I'm seeing a lot of clients use research to build their credibility as a thought leader. So I've worked with the Lockheed Martin Cybersecurity Alliance, for example. I mean, that right there, I think, was genius of them. Rather than competing against 12 other companies, they brought them all together into an alliance, and they've established that alliance as a thought leader in cybersecurity and cloud solutions. So we've done 3 years running now, well, 2 years running, and we're working on the third year research to give them a baseline of what's going on in the federal market, what the concerns, challenges, questions, issues are with federal IT decision makers as it relates to cloud computing and cybersecurity. So this year, the survey's about to go into the field for the third year. And what Lockheed has done is leverage this into sales and marketing and public relations outreach. So they created a white paper, which they made available on their website, and they disseminated to their clients and prospects. They had a webinar where they invited the government to, you know, come and hear firsthand. And so we had researchers to help lend that third-party credibility, as well as subject matter experts from Lockheed Martin and their Cybersecurity Alliance partners. So I think that this was a really ingenious way for them to establish their expertise in this area. And it has resulted in business for them, which is why they're continuing to do it.
And it's really gone a long way in positioning what is historically been, they've been so well known as a defense contractor. It really has helped establish and grow their presence on the civilian side. It's been very successful for them that way as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it's an example of them leveraging content successfully in this market. And there are other contractors that are doing that just as well. So for example, Accenture did a digital citizen survey a number of months ago, and it was very well received. They were looking to get a pulse on citizens regarding their potential usage of mobile solutions from in order to access government services. So, you know, right now, mobile is such a hot topic, and not just among, you know, how government agencies want to use mobile for their employees, but how does the public want to interact with government and what kind of solutions are they going to be comfortable with? And so, you know, that was a great way for Accenture to position themselves. They turned it into a white paper, some short, like one sheets on their website, and they leveraged it through their public relations and social media channels. Then you have some small and mid-sized contractors that are doing an extensive amount with social media. So social here is the channel. It is not the effort in and of itself, but
right.
It's the channel that these contractors are using to communicate with the government. And I mentioned earlier that we've got research that shows that the federal market is online using social tools. So I'll repeat that again. We've got 80% using YouTube, 86% saying they're on Facebook, 70% on LinkedIn, and 55% on Twitter. And
that's, now, the 70%, are these feds or?
These are feds.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
federal government employees.
There you go.
So they're using social tools at high levels. They've also told us that to inform their decision-making, they're using blogs. They're using non-government specific social networks like LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
They're using wikis.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using government specific social networks like GovLoop. And that's to inform their decision making.
Mm-hmm.
So for a contractor to be absent from those arenas, they're missing opportunities.
Right. But so, for the smaller contractors, it's difficult to be everywhere.
But I'm seeing more smaller contractors doing this content strategy and mm-hmm. using social media for their outreach.
Right.
So, for example, Morgan Franklin put together their Pivotal Plays campaign. It's mm-hmm. very comprehensive. They've used it in their advertising, but they've also got a blog. They have a Twitter feed, and they have a Pivotal Plays series, which features panel-driven live events with special guests, and they've got people from sports, business, and the government sharing their personal views on what they feel defines a pivotal play. And they've made a lot of impact in the market with this. In fact, this campaign even won the 2012 Gold Communicator Award of Excellence by the International Academy of Visual Arts. So that's one example.
And but perhaps a little bit to your point, Mark, I'm hoping we're seeing a little bit of movement away from it, but what I have seen in the past is contractors will be, they'll look at some of this data that Monica just mentioned, and like, oh, we have to have a Facebook page. Oh, we have to have a Twitter account. Oh, we have to be on YouTube. And there's no real thought to who are we trying to reach mm-hmm. and what is it that we want to say? So again, you have to define that first. And then pick one of these social media tools or one or two, maybe it isn't all, maybe it is, that are going to work most effectively based on who you're talking to, what you're trying to communicate.
Right. But even if you're going to do all of the above, you have to start with one and learn to do it well.
Right.
And make sure you've got relevant content. The purpose here is not to self-promote. It's not, these tools are not where you'd put your press releases. They need to be unique, relevant perspectives on content that is of interest to the federal market.
Right.
So, you know, some of the other companies that I've been keeping an eye on, Ironbow Technologies put together a federal blog called TechSource, and that focuses on cloud computing, mobility, virtualization, and information security. And they are a partner with Cisco, Dell, and HP. So they're talking about technologies that are relevant to what they sell and who their clients are.
Okay. Now, are you tracking by any chance the traffic on these things? Are you? It's hard to register the traffic on blogs because, you know, I tried it with mine and it comes up with my website, not the blog.
Well, I do have some stats here, okay, not for the ones that I've mentioned, but for a couple of other companies.
Okay.
So Northrop Grumman was actually a very early adopter of a social media strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an in-depth interview with their social media manager about a year ago when we did that social media study. So, you know, since they've been doing it for a long time, they have quite a large following. But they're using Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Flickr. And they have a tremendous following. Their YouTube channel gets almost 1.9 million views. They have 13,555 Facebook likes. They have a very healthy careers page with 560 Facebook likes. And they've got over 62,000 LinkedIn followers and over 14,000 Twitter followers. So that is really significant.
I see a lot of NGIT people on LinkedIn, and I'm connected to probably 40 of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go to YouTube and see what that volume of visitors is all about.
Now, let's talk about YouTube for a second, because I feel that it is not the easiest channel to deal with. The success that I've seen on YouTube comes from, again, relevant, but very short posts. Let's face it, some of what we deal with here in the federal market is dry. So nobody wants to sit there and look at a 30-minute video. And, you know, the analogy I use is think about watching commercials on TV. None of us likes to watch commercials. And if we do have to sit through a commercial, it's 30 seconds or a minute long. And after that, we're like, oh, is this over yet? Same thing with your YouTube videos. You got to keep them short and sweet. You could do a longer interview or a longer event, but then edit it down into smaller snippets. And I think you need to invest in having a professional do that. It doesn't mean they have to be super slick, but they need to be clean. You don't want to have a lot of dead air. You want, you know, it to be fast talking. Everybody's fast. We need to be talking quickly, not reading off a piece of paper, very slow and deliberate. That's not going to cut it. People are going to click right off of that. So short, sweet, and relevant, and like I said, professional.
Okay.
And the other, just quickly, piece for success on YouTube is making sure you are driving traffic to your YouTube channel, mm-hmm, and not just hoping that they'll come there passively. You have to use other mechanisms to drive them there.
Right. I mean, without traffic, it doesn't work. But we're going to have to cut this off right now. But what we're going to do is something a little different this week. We have to end the live show. But if you want a little more information, go to the website, federalnewsradio.com, because I have a few more questions to ask Lisa and Monica, and it'll only be on the web. But right now, thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio. This is not my day job. If you want to improve your marketing program, or if you want to develop a thought leadership position, give me a call. Also, stay tuned for our Government Market Master Fall Seminar Program at Capital College. And again, thanks for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Monica and Lisa, we're back off the air on the web.
Right.
What I'd like to start with is, over the last 6 or 8 months, you guys have taken a more proactive position on, you've done good at creating the content, but now you're disseminating more. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for Market Connections and how?
Mm-hmm. Monica, I'll let you address that.
Well, I have to give Mark credit for inspiring us, helping us put this strategy in place. Mark came in and talked to us at length about how we could leverage relationships that we have on LinkedIn and build more of a community there. And I then took that and put it into a strategy that was easy for my team to grasp and work with because they're busy. Marketing is not their full-time job. They're busy working with our clients.
Right.
So we identified 3 to 5 groups on LinkedIn that each person in our company could become a member of and would post content to. My content editor, Matt Langan, and I create the content, we put it on our blog, and we disseminate it to our team. And it's their job every day to go onto LinkedIn for 5 minutes and post whatever we're disseminating and interact in their groups on LinkedIn. And this has driven a tremendous amount of traffic to our blog and our website and has begun to raise our profile in the market more so because we are now interacting with people in the social sphere.
And I would say that for many companies, this process that Monica described is a challenge because it is not someone's full-time job to do this and they have other things that they're doing throughout the day. The process she described has made it very easy for the team, and that's a key piece of it being successful. The other thing that I've noticed is as these conversations start to occur and as they get comments back on what they're posting, they've gotten really excited about it. So they actually, it's something that they enjoy doing now, and that's really what's made it help make it successful for Market Connections.
Well, you know, one of the cool things in my career was the first time I saw my name on a book. It is not dissimilar to see one of the discussions that you start in a group start to gather some momentum, people commenting on it, people commenting on the comments, you responding back, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, though, that's just a tremendous amount of fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And for any company that has subject matter experts, particularly technical experts, this is going to take off like wildfire because they have something valuable to contribute to the marketplace, to this conversation. And so I think any marketer that can put a little structure around it and say, you know, 3 times a week, here's some content you can post. These are some groups I would recommend you get involved in. That individual is then going to embrace that because they will have a forum where they can interact and share their expertise and their opinions. And, you know, to Lisa's point earlier, she was saying that with YouTube videos, and with any content you develop, you need to drive people to it. People are not going to come on their own.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's where I think Twitter comes in really handy as well. And I know, Mark, that you're not a big Twitter user.
I push my articles.
Yeah. And so we use it the same way. But in the past 2 months, we also started to more actively retweet what some other thought leaders in the industry are doing. And so we follow Federal News Radio, we follow individual reporters, we follow a number of our clients and, like I said, thought leaders in the industry. And we have gotten a ton of traction by retweeting in addition to our independent content that we're putting out there.
Right.
And
but
then,
there's a lot of people out there tweeting who, when they start following you, they think you're going to follow them back.
No,
we
look at every follower and decide whether it's someone we want to follow because their content is relevant.
Right.
If they're an individual who's just interested in getting information, we're happy to have them as followers, but we aren't necessarily going to follow them. But the great thing is we've begun to develop online relationships just like you have face-to-face relationships. So, for example, we have a relationship with AOL Government. We've done some research for them. We've partnered on some content development, and we are now retweeting some of what they tweet, and now they're retweeting some of what we tweet. It's all very informal, but it's great because then you really expand your network. As soon as someone retweets to their network, people start coming in and following you.
Well, it's like joining an association. There's no value to it unless you go to the meetings, and the more you participate,
right,
the more valuable
you get
it becomes.
Out of it, what you put into it. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So I try to look at the Twitter feed every day, at a minimum three times a week, and make sure that I am retweeting relevant content to our followers. And that, without a doubt, whenever I do that, I start to see new followers coming in and following us.
Now, I was able to monitor your progress as a company and as individuals in the company for several months, and I have stopped recently. But have you continued to selectively add connections? Are you seeing better penetrations into some of the organizations that you currently do business with or want to do business with?
Absolutely, Mark. For one thing, you know, LinkedIn is such a great tool because it will tell you people that you should be connected to. So as we've built our network, we have begun to have more recommendations of second level connections that we should connect with. So just yesterday, someone came up in my LinkedIn and I saw the three people that he and I were both connected to. They're people that I know really peripherally, but Kathy in my office knows them well. So I said to her, Kathy, here's someone you should connect with. This is how we're connected. I know you know these people better than I do. I think you should, you know, go ahead and reach out to this person. So, you know, that's just one example, but we definitely
have built up our networks. So rather than you trying to connect with them really peripherally,
she can make a meaningful connection.
Boom.
I hear those conversations all the time around the office, and I never heard them before. Let's look on LinkedIn. Let's see if we can find that person on LinkedIn. Why don't we ask for an introduction? So those are the kind of hallway conversations that are happening, and people are using that tool much more than they ever have in our office.
Yeah, I mean, my strategy on LinkedIn, you guys know, I want to be the most connected person in the government contracting community on LinkedIn, and I want to be among the most visible mm-hmm. on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively successful, I think, at both. But I'm able to, as a result, see a tremendous amount more of market connections people, Sarah, David, mm-hmm. Monica, mm-hmm. even on occasion, Lisa, you.
On occasion.
And I know you're busy, but, you know, it's important to get out there and to be the one, not just the person behind the curtain, but the person on the front of the stage.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
And it gives individual employees an opportunity to showcase their knowledge as well, which
exactly.
I think really bolsters their confidence. They're not, you know, just order takers then. They really get to use their knowledge and expertise for
the
market.
Well, you know, having sat in a number of meetings with you guys, I know there's no dummies in the shop.
No, absolutely not. And I like to be out and about. I have some folks on the team that's not their favorite thing to do.
Lori, I didn't say that, did I?
No, you didn't. So. But this gives them an opportunity to be public facing
mm-hmm. Without standing in front of a crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, I will say that before we hired an independent editor and writer to help us generate the content, we struggled. Because at the end of the day, if people have to make choices about how they spend their time.
Client work versus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making money versus generating.
Exactly. Client work is going to win out, as it should, because otherwise we wouldn't be in business.
Right.
But we had a tremendous amount of expertise and information that we were not leveraging well enough publicly. So by bringing in an independent writer editor who can talk to the people on my team for 10 or 15 minutes and write up an article that they can then read over and say, oh, this is great. That's exactly what I meant. It's perfect. It works so well. And then they've got that content. They can spend their 5 minutes a day posting it on LinkedIn. As a marketing team, we tweet it out and we leverage it on the website and do all that other stuff. It really has made a tremendous amount of difference. I mean, we are 150% better than we were this time last year at generating good content and leveraging it for the success of the company.
Cool. Give me some final thoughts here.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's from left field.
But final thoughts. Social media is a tool. Use it to push out your content-driven strategy. And be where your customers are. So the government is telling us that they are using the social sphere to gather and information and make decisions. So put useful, relevant information in the places where they are.
Mine is probably a little bit different, my final thought, because I'm out and about so much and talking to a variety of different folks. And there is still a tremendous amount of pessimism in the space. So, you know, we're all going to get through this. I would encourage, you know, in an up market will hide a lot of sins in an organization. In a down market, you know, as the saying goes, the warts start to pop. So I would encourage folks to look at what isn't working well, spend some time correcting that, and focus your team on where the opportunities are. And we are certainly happy to help you identify what those are.
Very cool. My guests today have been Lisa DeZutti and Monica Parham, both of Market Connections. MarketConnectionsInc.com is the repository, or the portal, I should say, for the studies we've discussed, for the blog, and for the newsletter. I suggest you subscribe to the blog and the newsletter and take a careful look at some of these studies. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, the bonus segment.